Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure as always. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. You're going to be glad you did because Sam Norwood's here. Sam's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is senior partner with Tatum LLC, an outstanding organization who has hundreds and hundreds of partners, 600 or 700 partners, chief financial officers, chief information officers. These are executives for hire, so to speak, kind of like I used to be when I was a consultant. I was a vice president you could rent. Well, these guys do that, and they work for companies not unlike yours and mine all across the country. And once a month, they report back to Sam on how things are going out there where the rubber meets the road, where you and I live and work and do business. How are things going? And he puts all those reports into a report, compiles all of that, and gets it into a form that we can use and sort of help us evaluate where things are compared to some of the other things that we're getting. I love getting this report because we can compare it with other reports that we get, things that we hear on television and other media, and it's amazing. It's very impressive how accurate, how square the Tatum report is with a lot of other reports. And so let's get Sam in here. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's great to be back with you, Jim. And in this report, you know, we're talking in our survey each month to the same folks. So we measure the trends, and it's just looking back 30 days and forward 60 days. So it's a measure of what's going on right now as opposed to long-term forecasting. These are not economists. These are executives.
Right.
Where they're reporting to us for how it looks in their client companies. And so because they report each month, month after month, and it is hundreds, and it's across the country, and it's in virtually every major segment of the economy, we do get a feel for what's going on. And as you know, and as we read, things are, you know, a little iffy these days, and lots going on. So I'm happy to be here to report on this.
Well, I'm glad that you are. We always appreciate you taking the time to do this with us, Sam. I'm looking at your summary page, and folks, Sam has three kinds of arrows. One arrow goes sideways, meaning things are not going to change much. One arrow goes down, and that's the kind of the red one. And then the sideways arrow is kind of yellow. The down arrow is red, and the up arrow, as you can imagine, is green. Sam, I don't see any green here, except in the legend.
The one green is in capital expenditure commitments. Last month, looking back 30 days, we had a pickup in capital expenditure commitments, and that's consistent with where we're seeing strength in the economy, which is in the technology area. There's a lot of business spending right now is pretty strong, and it's one of the pillars that is a positive a part of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Next 60 days, it looks, you know, kind of flat. But we had a good that was the brightest spot right in our past 30 days.
Well, exactly. But you know, Sam, when I look around, I see. Of course, there's a whole lot to the carry trade, as they call it, the financial industry. There's a whole lot to that sector of the marketplace that I don't understand, that I don't know. There's a lot of stuff out there that's beyond my view, and the view of most of us, that you know, there may be some things that are, you know, are going to go bump in the night out there, and I think I understand a fair amount about the mortgage industry, the subprime challenges we have, and all that. But I look around, and I still see a lot of structural integrity to our economy, and I just wonder how much of our future difficulties where we could have, how much of that could be self-imposed, meaning we talk ourselves into it. What do you think?
Well, we can, and every time things get a little sketchy, there is talk, you know, oh my gosh, we might have a recession, and then we, if that scares everybody into cutting back, then that's that can actually circulate around so that we actually get ourselves into a downward spiral. At the same time, we as business people need to know exactly, objectively, what is going on so we can react appropriately, not in a scared way, but take a look at what we need to check our own environment, our own customers, our own customer base, and know what's coming, looking at our own backlogs, and not be too scared by the general rhetoric. At
right.
the same time, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. But,
absolutely. Hold on to that thought, Sam. Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Sam Norwood. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
First thing you do when you get up out of bed is hit that streets of running and try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Sam Norwood. Sam has brought his report from his partners, who he reports to him every month on how things are going. Sam, the hiring numbers, the payroll numbers, actually looked pretty good this week, didn't they? From
yeah.
the other reports, some of the other reports that came in, not your report, but from others.
Sure. Employment is a lagging indicator. We are reluctant to hire until we know things are really getting better, and we're reluctant to lay off until things are really bad. And so we believe that certainly the employment, if you remember back about three years ago, everybody was going, oh my gosh, the economy seems to be picking up, but employment just doesn't seem to be a part of it. Well, finally, it did get caught up, and it's doing just fine now. And that's a really positive thing. And I hope that they stay up, and they will stay up if the economy actually doesn't decline further. But we watch that as a lagging indicator rather than a coincident or a leading indicator.
Mm-hmm.
So employment is staying pretty good, considering the overall sense about things. And we feel like that if we look outside of our survey and just think, well, what is really going on there, the consumer is really getting squeezed. And just anecdotally, if you go to the shopping malls, it's just kind of, you know, not quite as vigorous as it might be.
Wasn't the Black Friday with the Friday after Thanksgiving and also Cyber Monday the next Monday, weren't those good numbers?
Friday was only so-so, and the Monday was pretty good. It was a big increase from the prior year, people using the internet to buy things. That was up substantially from the prior year, and I think that's taking away some from going out and walking in the mall. You can do it right in your home, so. That was good, but the purchases on the using the computer are still a relatively small part of the overall retail scene compared to actually going out and feeling the merchandise and buying it on site.
Right.
So our sense is that Christmas could be a little disappointing to the retailers, and you see that with the number of sales going on. I think the retailers are starting to anticipate that maybe things could be a little slower than they had hoped, and therefore are putting on a lot. There are a lot of sales going on right now in the malls and everywhere. So we look at that as, well, it's a good thing as consumers. They're going to move the merchandise, but as an indicator, it could be one of those things that is a clue that Christmas could be a little soft this year.
Well, and of course, $3 a gallon gas is not helping anybody.
Well, that's
a tough one. Plus, you know, when it comes to the consumer, we got the gasoline issue, we got we got three things, I guess. The gasoline issue, even if your home, and maybe your home mortgage is about to reset, you could have a real challenge there facing you. There are a lot of people out there who are facing. I heard yesterday 1.7 million people will have their mortgages reset, say sometime in the next 12 months.
Yes.
All of those are not in trouble. All of those are not going to foreclose upon, but they are going to reset. Meaning, even the ones who can afford it are going to have less money because their mortgage payment is going to go up. So you got that, and then you got the jawboning, Sam, where we talk ourselves into this. So all three of those things may be setting up a situation where consumers are getting worried.
Well, they're getting squeezed actually because. The rising fuel thing is not just for cars. It's $3 a gallon for gas or a little more, but also it's home fuel. Home heating this winter is another source of squeeze. And Joe Sixpack on Main Street is feeling it and doesn't have the old bailout of being able to refinance the house right now to help out. If he does get squeezed, so it's not a drastic situation, but it is something that is causing an expectation of somewhat lower consumption, and we see that showing up in our survey.
Yeah. What are you guys telling you about the next 60 days?
Well, the ratio of the take a look at the next 60 days and say. How many of our respondents are saying things are looking better for the next 60 days? How many are saying things are looking worse for the next 60 days? And we do a ratio of better to worse. That ratio right now is at the lowest that it has been in about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And now the good news about that is that 4 years ago we touched in this territory and came back out of it. And we can come back out of it right now. So there's no assurance that the weakness will continue. It could we could bound back up. I think that people anticipate next week on Tuesday that the Federal Reserve will lower interest rates by perhaps half a point or at least a quarter of a point.
And the British Central Bank lowered rates today.
Also Canada.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're two of our biggest trading partners, and
right.
They're feeling a little bit of a crunch too.
Maybe a little contagion going on there.
Could be, and it's linked.
Yeah. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Sam Norwood. We got a lot more to come right after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us.
Crippling mankind. Dead kings. Many things I can't define. Old cages. Five swaggers. Flutter your mind. In the sense and top of men.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Sam Norwood. Sam, give us your website, please.
Website is tatumllc.com.
And that's where they can find this report if they want, as well as on my website, my home page. But they can go there also to find out about what you guys do, which is, as I said earlier, you're basically chief financial officers, chief information officers that people can rent you. They don't have to hire you full time.
Exactly. Could be part-time, full-time, or could be temporary or permanent. And our execs are pre-screened and become part of our firm. So we lend them out for companies that need it, either full-time, part-time, or temporary.
It's a wonderful niche that you guys have created. And as I said, when I was a consultant, 1989, my tagline for my consulting company was I was a vice president you could rent. And when I told people that, it just made perfect sense to them. And yeah. So that's what you guys do, and it's a great model. And folks, check it out at tatumllc.com and use it to your advantage. Sam, there's a lot of stuff going on right now with the mortgage industry, which the subprime issue where all these homes were bought by people who couldn't afford what they had. They certainly weren't good. They bought more house than they could afford. They were given terms that they could make with payments that they could make. but not setting themselves up for success when the mortgage reset to the higher rate. These people, hundreds of thousands of these people are not going to be able to make the new rate. And this is because of the securitization of those mortgages. This sort of a disease is rippling around the world, isn't it?
It's a very complex issue, and you see Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, trying to put together a program that will, in effect, bail out mortgage holders to a degree and give them some relief, and also provide some relief from the holders of those mortgages. The lenders will get a lower return, and the homeowners may be able to hang on. But it's a very complex issue that involves moral hazard and perhaps a legal hazard.
Well, Sam, that's exactly right. And you know, I said 2 months ago, and a lot of people laughed at me, but I said 2 months ago, I said, you know what? These people are not going to be kicked out of their homes. Most of them are not going to be, because it's not to the issuers, the servicers, the mortgage holders. It's not to their advantage to kick these people out of their homes, because recently I heard that they're getting less than 50% return of their money because of the discounting of these homes that are being foreclosed on. So yeah. I said somebody's going to work with these people. But what I'm against, Sam, I am not in favor of the government sticking its nose in here and bailing out either the mortgage issuers or the mortgagees. Because now I am in favor of the mortgage holders contacting the mortgagees and saying, okay, look, I know let's talk, come on in, let's talk to you, let's see what you can afford, let's work something out, let's come up with something, we're going to hurt a little bit, you're going to hurt a little bit, let's work this out. I'm in favor of that in the marketplace. Yep. What I'm worried about is the government going in and overstepping their bounds and monkeying around with the contracts that were signed, Sam. Yeah. In this country, if we can't rely on the contract law that we have in this country, which is better than any other country on the planet, yep. if other people can't rely on our sticking to our contracts, then we have nothing here.
We're a nation of laws, and if borrowers and lenders can get together and come to an agreement that helps resolve a very tough situation, so much the good. But if the government forces it and determines it, that is not a good thing.
No, it's not, and it's very troubling to me that this is much more than the S&L bailout. This is much greater than the Chrysler, bailout. This is something. People made mistakes on both sides of this issue, Sam. The yep. the purchasers and the lenders, they got greedy, they got blood in their eyes, so to speak, and they did something they shouldn't have done. Those people are going to have to feel some pain.
The American dream is owning the home, and I think everybody got caught up in that. Some of whom for whom it has not worked out, and then there needs to be some kind of solution, but it has to be a solution between the parties, and not a solution imposed by the government.
The medicine has to be taken, and it's not the government's job to sweeten the medicine.
Yeah, we're together,
Sam,
on that one for sure.
Thank you, Sam, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Great to be with you, Jim.
Sam
Look
Norwood, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And remember, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.